We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a clipping from the Moffat News, read by Peter Donaldson.
The region's first millennium baby would almost certainly have been Moffat Medical Secretary Janice Quigley if she'd been born 21 years later.
Thanks to Gary Hall of Dumfries for that. Let's now meet the teams. Please welcome first, on my right, Linda Smith and John Sargent. On my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy. Linda, they think it's all Rover. It is now.
Oh, dear. Yes, this is the tidying away of the last vestiges of our manufacturing base, isn't it, Rover? I think there's just a couple of blokes now who make trellis in Suffolk, really, as a British industry. So, yes, BMW have pulled out of Rover now, and some city firm have taken them over and selling them off for scrap or something. I'm not quite sure what's happening with them.
Well, it's Fatty Arbuckle, isn't it? They took over Fatty Arbuckle first, and they thought, what else is like Fatty Arbuckle? They thought, the Rover car industry.
I saw this headline on I think it was Wednesday's Evening Standard, which just said, Rover to be sold. And I thought, that really is news. Some dealer somewhere has got lucky after all.
Apparently,
I don't think... I mean, Linda's slid over the fact that BMW pulled out. BMW has destroyed a British factory complex, not for the first time.
It's a bit upsetting if you keep reading in the paper how Rover... The problem with Rover is that Rover are old-fashioned. They've got an old-fashioned image, as if that's a bad thing. I love the idea that optional extras with Rover are not sort of go-faster stripes, but a flask and a tartan rug. That would sell one to me.
Celia Johnson. Trevor Howard had a Rover in Brief Encounter. Do you remember that?
There you go.
Yep. Never got her into the back seat, but he had a Rover. He didn't do it there. It was a doctor's car. He had a Rover 12.
The Rover Group began production in 1906 with the humble Rover bicycle, which could reach a top speed of 20 miles an hour, 17 miles an hour faster than a modern-day Rover in London traffic. 2 points to Linda. John, who found New Labour very taxing this week?
Ah, yes, very taxing indeed. This was William Hague going on and on about tax, and I'm afraid it was rather unexciting because people expect this to happen during general election campaigns. They're not ready for it yet. I think we need another year to go by before we get into this one again because everybody just shouts and says the same thing, but one side tries to shout louder than the other and it never seems to work.
It's remarkable.
It's very philosophical, isn't it?
Every few weeks or so you remember that the Tories still exist. One of them says something and you go, oh, yeah.
The best bit was when a bald Labour MP said that William Hague was giving slapheads a bad name. I'm not a slaphead, but Alan might be.
Yes, I was deeply... I think I'll grow hair in protest against Hague. I think I've decided to let the hair come out.
Those who advise Mr. Hague to launch his crusade clearly want to cast him in the role of Richard the Lionheart, though whether the image of a bisexual king who spoke no English, spent the whole of his life outside Britain and was buried in France will go down well with Tory voters is questionable. 2 points to John. Jeremy, who netted themselves a fortune right at the last minute?
Oh, God, is this these computer people? The terrible thing is that computer enthusiasts suddenly make windfalls of tens of millions of pounds, and you know that they're just not going to enjoy it at all. And she said, the woman, whatever her name is, Lady Self-Made Woman...
Martha Lane Fox,
that's
another
right.
14 points.
That's yeah. Right. Martha Lane Fox, I agree heartily with my teammate.
Martha Lane Fox whom, you might say.
Exactly. And she said, what depresses me is everybody's only interested in the fact that I've got £45 million. And I thought, well, what else have you to offer, really? Oh, you sell discount flights in the clearing system when they have charged too much for them and they can't sell them. You do that. Oh, and how long have you been doing... Oh, that's interesting. Now let's talk about the £45 million.
Internet shopping is marvellous, though, isn't it? You order it on up on the internet, and in just a month, it all arrives. It's marvellous. How we manage without it?
It was a flotation of the lastminute.com on the London Stock Exchange, a company which has never made a profit, but which was valued at £733 million, making overnight multimillionaires of its two youthful founders. 2 points to Jeremy. Alan, your piece of music.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Alan, why did the critics have their claws out while the government was accused of bending over backwards to satisfy the bishops?
How many second division Athenian League jokes do you want after that?
We've had a few.
About clause 28. And remarkably, the government, for once, compromising on something. And now everything has to be taught in school. I don't know how they'll have time to do the things that I did, like extra woodwork and religious knowledge, because all they're going to be doing is teaching relationships. And they mustn't upset anyone, so that everyone is going to be they're going to be taught marriage. I don't know how you teach marriage to 9-year-old. It's everything from who puts the bins out to whose turn it is to jump off the wardrobe and have a headache. I mean, how do you actually tell? I'm 60. I've been married 36 years. I'm still learning. I don't think I get an O-level in it now. My wife's got an A-level. I don't see a lot of her these days. No, it's simply the stringing out of clause 28 so that it's acceptable to all the bishops and all the parents and all the parties, and everything will be taught in schools except the thing that children are sent to learn.
I like the way we've got a new sort of risque phrase, a stable relationship. So you say, fancy a stable relationship.
You can have anything, you have a stable relationship with a donkey. In fact, that's exactly what you would have. It'll be impossible to govern anything that children are taught now, won't it? I mean, it covers everything, clause, whatever it's going to be called.
Well, one thing teachers are contracted to do now is, under this, they will be obliged to advise children to delay sex,
yes,
at least till playtime. Because it unsettles the guinea pigs, apparently.
And it's a bizarre idea that as soon as you tell children about something, they'll automatically just start doing it. I mean, my daughter knows what homework is. She hasn't got the slightest interest in it.
But I like the way they're trying to make a distinction between an explanation and something exciting. So you just explain the fact that if you've got no clothes on and there's someone of the opposite sex with no clothes on, that might be satisfactory in certain circumstances.
You mean like having a bath with your sister or something like that?
The thing is that 90% of schoolboys are now going to have to come to the terms with the fact that other people are involved. It's going to be a hell of a shock. Oh, you mean you could do this with somebody else? I didn't know.
Up until now, they thought sex with a condom was sex with a condom.
Chris Woodhead is on the record as saying that teaching impressionable 16-year-olds about sex needs to be handled very carefully. A nice bottle of Chianti, some Barry White records and casual light music. And the scores at the end of round one are, of course, everybody 4 points. And we begin round two with an item seen in the small ads of the Worthing Herald.
Plain black leather look, men size 8. Unwanted git, bargain £10.
Thanks to Elaine Gareth for sending us that. Linda, which Londoner surprised us by being in the black while his rival was missing out by a whisker?
Oh, this is Ken Livingstone, who apparently has been secretly storing up money by writing a column in a national newspaper under the pseudonym Ken Livingstone. They're so cunning, aren't they? Really. But, so he's been doing that, and he's been told off for this, apparently. And Frank Dobson. You can't resist saying poor old in front of that name, is it? It's like Jack Straw's trying to persuade us to say bogus in front of asylum seeker. Poor old Frank Dobson. He's been told that he'd do better if he shaved his beard off. Well, I don't know if anyone's clamouring to see any more of his face, are they really? I don't know if they're so desperate now, because Ken's so far ahead in the polls, they probably think, well, if he shaves his beard off, some confused voters might think he's Ken Livingstone and vote for him.
The papers had a computer-enhanced, and God knows he needs it, computer-enhanced picture of Frank Dobson without his beard, and he looked completely plucked. It's got an extraordinary head, like a melon. It's his huge head.
Yes, his face looks the same.
Much better with a beard.
Each way up, doesn't it?
Captain Birdseye. The trouble is that he encouraged this story because he thought by saying, and I'm not going to shave off my beard, he would seem tough and independent. Whereas people really thought, what on earth are those people doing? What on earth are they talking about him?
Well, it's like, they imagine there's something under it. It's like an advent calendar or something. It's a little robin on a log or something.
The sad thing for Milbank is that they just don't realise that we are all going to vote for Ken Livingstone no matter what they do. I mean, he could be... They could reveal that he was caught fornicating with a bacon sandwich in the Regent's Park Mosque. And we would still vote.
Did you hear the spin doctors were so upset by all this that they decided that they should change their name from Milbank Tower? It's like sort of Winscale changing their name to Sellafield. So, brief competition. What should they change the name to? Some of the best names are taken up. Planet Hollywood.
Alton Towers. People like that.
Faulty Towers.
Mind you, there are people tonight scraping the mud out of their gutted homes in Mozambique thinking, well, could be worse. We could be Frank Dobson.
2 points there, John. Which super new project is now definitely up, up and away?
Oh, dear. It's not a balloon, is it? It's not the balloon that's going to set off these mines.
Alan's got the answer.
Is it this Airbus?
Oh, yes. The Airbus.
Yeah, but, the very words going together, if you live in London, is rather horrifying. 400 of them coming over Heathrow and then nothing for 3 months. but they're building... Because it's so terrible going anywhere in the world, because everywhere is awful that you land... This is now going to be like the Channel Ferries, but you don't actually have to... You just go there to get your duty-free stuff. And they're doing this for the Airbus, and it's going to have a dog track and a bowling alley and... no, it is going to have all these things and restaurants and... So you won't need to go anywhere. You just get on the Airbus at Luton and you fly over Benidorm and come back with all duty-free stuff. And you're so happy. I'm a great supporter of this thing. It's going to take 1,000 people.
But we're having to bail them out because through no fault of their own... British Aerospace, through some disaster in their lives, are unable to pay for it themselves. And that's why it's up to all of us to do what we can to help British Aerospace to put casinos in planes. They've probably got a little tiny plane inside that you can fly around in to get from one thing to the next.
2 points. Jeremy, listen to this. Jeremy, who's been leaving schools faster than a speeding bullet?
Oh, superheads. Because Blunkett thinks what you do to turn around a failing school is you get a superhead who's just like somebody, like Lord Tesco or somebody. You get him and, you know, you think, well, if he cocks up being headmaster, we'll just put him in the government, it'll be all right. So you send this bloke to work at some failing school and then he says, oh, but it's horrid and all the kids are poor and the roof leaks, can I go? And so he leaves again. But he's a laugh, Blunkett, because he made that joke. He made that joke. What, you know, because he said this thing where he said, watch my lips, no selection, you know. That was a joke, and it was such a good joke that people didn't laugh or even smile inwardly. That joke worked on so many levels that people applauded it, almost as though it were an election pledge that he's now broken. What a subtle satirist he is, really.
A rib tickler is what William Hague called it. Alistair Campbell said it was mild amusement it caused, very mild. There was complete silence, I remember. People were...
He's getting, as well as these superheads, he's got this idea now that businesses, that firms should take over whole schools now, isn't it? That schools should become... run by just privatised totally. Like, I suppose his idea is he gets Group 4 in and he can get the size of the classes down because all the kids will be escaping.
It's going to be great for our children, the business community running our schools. The things they'll learn in biology, they'll learn that the diet of the cow is manky sheep guts, and in physics, they'll learn the extended warranty theory of matter, whereby all molecules spontaneously implode just after the manufacturer's warranty has expired.
following the resignation of three so-called superheads who'd been offered £70,000 a year under the Fresh Start initiative, the government are now looking to create academies, schools sponsored by a mixture of religious organisations and top businessmen, so watch out for St. Branson's. Linda, why isn't £7,000 a month enough to give one young mum any satisfaction?
Oh, yes. Mick Jagger's girlfriend, isn't it? She's gone to court to get more money from Mick Jagger, the father of her child. I think he's got a bit of a bad rap here because there was all this, he's not doing the honourable thing, he's not admitting that it's his child, you know, to begin with. But I think that was just old age. He just didn't remember, did he? You're not my son. Yes, apparently the baby eats £1,000 worth of food a week or something. To keep it in rusks, he's got to up the money a bit.
It's got his father's lips, has it?
So, I think the richer you are, the older your parents are, as a rule, aren't they? It seems to be the case.
Seems to be, yeah.
You know, we were lower middle class, and my parents were sort of like, you know, sort of 38 years older than me, and at the poor kids at school, their parents weren't much older than them, really. And if you're like a Viscount or something, your dad's just hundreds of years older.
True.
Sort of, I don't know, a bit depressing lately. Have you seen that pension advert on television and the music for it is David Bowie's Heroes? That's terrible. Now, David Bowie is pension advert music.
We move swiftly on. You're making jokes about old people who are much younger than I am. I can't take a look.
Oh, yeah. God, what would you have to advertise, Alan? If he's
what would I have to advertise? Yeah. I mean, have I got anything to advertise? I haven't got any sprogs around the world. I mean, if anybody's listening, and none of them is mine.
I've just got a vision of David Bowie advertising Werther's Originals.
I love the fact that if you lie awake late at night, listen to the Stand and Stare lift, it's got Raymond Baxter's voice over it. Raymond Baxter, well, most people remember as a broadcaster. I remember even further back as a fighter pilot. It was a terrible vision of somebody in the living room shouting, "Scramble!" Baxter getting to his Stannis stairlift. It's taking 4 hours to get to the landing.
You know, if you had one of those seats that propels you across the room, you know those videos in the post office, that you, and there's a seat and you press a button and it just propels an LED relative across the room. So you can put it on a timer so that it does it to you every so often so that your relatives don't think you're in a persistent vegetative state. Whack you over the head with a coal shovel so they can get your stuff.
Sum up, Simon.
Should we move on to any other business now? Well, no, we've got Treasurer's report to get through yet.
Don't forget to thank the vicar for the use of the hall.
Brazilian model Luciana Morad wept when a New York judge ordered Mick Jagger to pay £7,000 a month towards the upkeep of their love child rather than the 23 grand she'd asked for. Jeremy, which little piggies went to the biotech market this week?
Oh, my Lord. Yes, now they've been cloning again. 5 pigs because of the recruitment problems that the Met are having. But the downside is they're out on the beat and people were saying, "Cool, you know you're getting older when all the policemen look exactly the same." And they're out on the beat and then they're about to start investigating a break-in at a building society or something, and then suddenly somebody jumps on them and whips one of their kidneys out and rushes it off to the nearest hospital. Because they're basically, pigs are being used as sort of organ growing, because pigs' offals are cheapest, I suppose. I'd rather have a nice piece of calf's liver myself if I was... But they're going to take the organs out of the pigs in transplants.
Understand. I mean, it's perfectly possible to breed enough pigs to provide organ transplants to the people who need them without cloning them.
Yeah, but it's a silly idea.
Well,
anyway,
what we need to breed is surgeons. Chances? There's nobody doing any operations now. We have to clone cardiac surgeons because there are only about 3.
Were you worried that .com was unplanned? That's the 5th pig. They were expecting 4, so they got 5, which just worries me about the whole experiment. Did they know what they were doing? Well, their own. Pigs have 2 ears, or 3.
I think it's rubbish because, for a start, what are the chances of one of those pigs dying in a motorbike accident? And carrying a donor card. It's astronomical odds, isn't it?
Alan, which lying criminal has discovered a new set of convictions?
This is Jonathan Aitken, that great and good man, who, in one of his more forlorn moments, was tramping along Sandwich Beach. And he heard what he described in the Sunday Times as an inaudible voice. Not an easy thing to do, but he heard... he heard an inaudible voice, and then he looked at his wrist, as you would if you'd heard an inaudible voice, and his Rolex had stopped. And he knew that a Rolex was a class timepiece that didn't just chuck in the sponge, and he knew that God had come down with a divine hand and stopped his two going round. And he then decided to become a minister. Despite the fact he made a pig's ear of it the first time, this time his boss was not going to be John Major, it was going to be God. And he's going to theological college because he's had this revelation on the beach. And he's going to be Archbishop of Canterbury or something. Jolly good, too. Bit of a star.
Probably just got a bit of sand in the winding mechanism, I should think. Quite blowy out on the beach, though. Because most people find God in prison, don't they?
He wrote about being in prison as well. They had a go at him in the showers. Mm. He said, I didn't wash for a week. And I didn't know whether that meant... or...
I like the way his son persuaded him not to commit suicide by saying, don't be a chump, Daddy. It's great to have a son who's as retro as that, isn't it? I know you don't approve of women smoking in the street, and neither do I, really, Daddy. I feel so terribly, terribly tired. Let's get into the Rover and not have sex.
Disgraced former cabinet minister Jonathan Aitken claims to have been converted to Christianity since his failed court case and prison sentence. He told the Sunday Times he enjoyed working in the prison as a lavatory cleaner because he could look down into the sewer and chat to all his old mates. And the scores at the end of round three are dramatically 12 points each. And before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the Daily Telegraph.
A woman who phoned Sussex Police Call Centre in Brighton to say she'd found a hole in the road was put through to the Lost Property Department.
Thanks to Stephen O'Loughlin of Rathley Highland, County Antrim. Linda, listen to this. Linda, that was Sweet Like Chocolate by Shanks and Bigfoot. Who was milking an EU decision for all it was worth?
Yes. English chocolate, isn't it? English chocolate, which had been rejected by the European community as not being real chocolate, because they say that chocolate should contain chocolate. it's some faddy European thing, and apparently our chocolate is mostly pilchards and slurry, luncheon meat, that sort of thing. It's how we like it, and they've relented and said now that the rest of Europe can now enjoy our chocolate-type stuff.
It's all about vegetable oils, nothing to do with pilchards. It's too many vegetable oils, and one of the suggestions was that our chocolate should be called Vegelate.
Oh, Ambassador, you're spoiling us with this Vegelate.
Vegelate does sound scarily like a verb, though, doesn't it? It does sound like an unnatural act with a turnip or something.
So anyway, what happened was they reached a compromise during the past week, which was that it should now be called family milk chocolate. It's a bit like family planning, really. Not before, not after, but instead.
Following the lifting of a 27-year-old ban by the European Parliament, British milk chocolate can now be sold on the continent with the word chocolate on the wrapper. John, what petite primate has had the evolutionists going ape this week?
This is an incredibly small monkey who they think is part of the evolutionary chain that's led to all of us taking part in the news quiz. But there has been a gap of 45 million years. And I don't know whether you had this problem, but when I was at school, our French teacher looked like a monkey. And we used to think that he was the missing link, and he was called Linky. But apparently in China recently, they found the real missing link. And this is by identifying the bones of this incredibly tiny monkey. It's the size of a mouse. It's really the top of your thumb.
How do they know it's not a mouse dressed up as a monkey?
Because they looked at it very carefully, and they could see that it was like my French teacher.
It's the discovery of Eosimius, a tiny 45-million-year-old primate no longer than the human thumb, which evolutionists believe provide the missing link between man and the apes, a role previously played by members of the Arsenal back four. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Linda.
Right, this is a cutting from the South China Morning Post, sent in by Darren Gunson of Essex. Police in Los Angeles had good luck with a robbery suspect who just couldn't control himself during a lineup. When detectives asked each man in the lineup to repeat the words, "Give me all your money or I'll shoot," the man shouted, "That's not what I said."
Jeremy.
This was sent in by somebody whose name I've misplaced, so I'm sorry, and it's from the Fuerteventura Grapevine magazine, which is sort of what's on in the Canary Islands kind of magazine, and it advertises all the different pubs and clubs in Fuerteventura, and one is called The Blue Rock. This is them paying for this advertising space. Slightly scruffy little bar with the best blues and rock collection in the entire building, and there's a quote from Mama Cass saying, "I was really choked when I left." And then there's a bit that says, "Effluent English, spoke in ear." I think they're having a laugh.
Alan.
Well, this was sent in by me, and it was in the Daily Telegraph on the 9th of March. It says, "Johnny Gap, the reigning world champion death magician, thought he was well on the way to retaining his title when judges in Nagpur, India, disqualified him for hearing too much. Mr. Gap said yesterday, 'I produced my hearing test certificate as proof that I was deaf, but they wouldn't listen.'"
Thank you all. Let's look at the final score, which is everybody 16 points. With that, goodbye. Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Jeremy Hardy, Linda Smith and John Sargent. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script is written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and George Poles, and the producer was Lucy Armitage.